Thank you very much, Mark. Good morning and welcome to worship at Little Sitar. I don't know how Marlene does that. She ends promptly at 10:30 so we could get started. If it were me, I'd probably still be in the middle of the song and it would sound like jingle bells or something. It wouldn't sound pretty, I'm just saying. But anyway, welcome to worship. The announcements that we got, one there says please sign the register, and I was going to add to it the one from last week of check your mailbox back in the narthex if you have one. Is anyone aware of any announcements that need to be made, Pearl? Okay, so Connie, directory updates need to go to Burl, Connie, or Diane High. Connie, the secretary, or Diane High. So please let them know of any changes to your address, phone number, that kind of thing.
They can call, text, email.
Call, text, email.
All
right. Well, thank you, Burl.
Yes.
Oh, Jenny would like to make an announcement.
Along with Harvest Home Sunday, today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Pastor Matt, please come forward. On behalf of the congregation, we want to thank you for all your hard work, all your wonderful sermons, and all your love you show to us every Sunday and throughout the year. Thank you so much for being our pastor.
There are a bunch of announcements in your bulletin. Please go through your bulletin and check them out. I noticed the nut sale. I'm partial to nuts. I'm related to many of them. Sorry. Had to say it. I just had to. Okay. I don't know of anything further. So what is our hymn? Or what's next? Harvest Prayer. Oh, sweet. Thanks. Harvest Prayer. Please stand for the harvest prayer and join me. Lord, we thank you for every blessing, every provision, every need met in our lives. Even when we have little, you are very much. We pray, Lord, in our harvest, we would bless others, and with the foods provided today, we ask that you would meet the needs of our neighbors. Multiply them, Lord, that the harvest would feed the multitudes. To you be all glory. Amen. Hymn number 17, We Gather Together.
Oh,
in the beginning. You can't get much sooner than that. Or can you? Before the beginning, there was God. God was, God is, God will ever, forever be. It's a story that begins with God speaking it into existence, and it will know no end. God needs nothing, and yet our Lord created stars and moons, oceans and earth, animals and sustenance. God created life, and then he created humanity, and the plot would thicken. This book, so ancient, so old, so that makes it irrelevant, right? I mean, what do robe wearing, thou art this and that speaking, manna eating, sacrifice offering, Jewish people of this historic artifact have to do with me? Absolutely everything. This is God's love story, and it paints time and time again, story after story, generation upon generation, a portrait of a jealous God, rightfully pursuing his creation through their own selfish missteps, misjudgments, misunderstandings of his relentless love, through years, through decades, through centuries, through the men and women who faithfully and faithlessly lived out their lives and are printed here. Here. God shouts his love. He screams out his unbridled affection. He chisels in the heart of stone the patterns of his infinite persistence to restore to himself what is rightfully his. God's story is in their stories, and their stories just may be our story. Adam and Eve, Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Esther, Ruth, Isaiah, Daniel, David. The cutesy Bible stories we teach our children about in song and on felt boards. The wail of the tale of a giant fish swallowing a man and his boats, and boats filled with animals. Of donkeys speaking and lions' mouths wired shut. Of a sea parting in two. Their relevance lost in the ocean of primary colors that fail to paint the layer upon layer of their stories. God's love story, our story. God, Yahweh, Adonai, El Shaddai, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of you. Not some heavenly chaperone smiling politely down, uninvolved, until someone needs to get reprimanded, nor some viciously wrathful deity just looking for heathens to smite with thunderbolts from some distant skyward perch. No. We have a God intent on calling his people, and guiding his people into better understanding of what it means to be his people. God leads them with holy audacity out of their slavery in Egypt and out of the slavery from sinful disobedience into what he promises, what he promises. What he promises is fuller life, a life with God. And yet the creator of all that was and would ever be found his loving addresses falling on deaf ears, deaf lives. People continued their attempts to dismiss God and pick sticks up off the ground and put stones on pedestals, and they melted metal into ugly forms and they bowed down to them, worshiping the creation rather than the creator. But there were a faithful few who, through thick and the oh so thin, believed and lived like they believed. And they lived in the belief that one day their God, the one true God, unchallenged by the sticks and the stones that the rest of the world chose to worship, would give them his love incarnate. They believed in the coming of the one known to them as Messiah.
That Messiah dwells among us today. The Holy Spirit he promised us, the Counselor, the Comforter, is here. And so we thank that Messiah for the gift of life that he has bestowed upon us. And we come now during a time of joys and concerns to celebrate life And there's one life among us who's celebrating his birthday today, and his name is Craig Lookinbill. And I'd invite you to sing happy birthday to him as we enter into our time of joys and concerns. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Lord bless you, brother. Many, many more. Do have a few highlights of concerns this week. Surgery's upcoming. We would invite you to keep Vera Gross in prayer. She'll be having hip surgery this Wednesday, October 23rd. Sandy Dreibelbus will be having surgery on Thursday. And Jen Spiral will have surgery Tuesday at Hershey. So keep Sandy, Jen, and Vera in your prayers. And we have a report from Greg. They have a little bit of a belly issue going on this morning, but it's been 18 days since Daniel has had any seizures. So praise God for that. Amen. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family? I certainly appreciate your prayers for Denise. She was able to have 5 days of infusion, and that's quite important for when she's in an MS flare. So now as she withdraws from that treatment and her body starts to get better, we certainly appreciate your continued prayers.
Okay. I'd like prayer for Joyce Schott's birth. Family. Her husband passed away. I'm not sure his first name, but it was a shout. And of course, Gilbert Bayshore passed away. So prayer for his family.
Visitation is tomorrow at Hilton Hall, 5 to 8.
And we want to keep Earl Miller's family in prayer. He passed away, and services are Wednesday. You'll note in the bulletin. The times 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock for visitation and 11 o'clock for services. Any other joys or concerns?
I have a joy and a thank you. After 5 long years of nursing school and working at the hospital where I am, I had my last day shift yesterday. I will be going tonight. I will be fully independent as a nurse. So thank you for all your prayers that you've had for me for all these years.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us, that you watch over us, you keep us safe through the night. And we thank you, Lord, for watching over the harvest. We thank you for the farmers in this area and across the globe, and just continue your touch upon their land, that the harvest would be plentiful. And we thank you for the harvest we have here before us that many have brought forth that we might feed those in need in our very own community. But we ask, Lord, it wouldn't be only on this day, but it would be on continual days that we would meet the needs of each other as we so faithfully do. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you listen to our prayers, and you respond to our prayers. And we want to pray specifically for individuals with surgeries that are upcoming. We think of Vera Gross and Sandy Dreibelbus and Jean Spiral and the upcoming surgery for Daniel. When that time comes, we just ask that you would continue to bless him and he would continue to be seizure-free. And we just thank you, Lord, for just watching over Daniel and his family. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those that have lost loved ones. We think of Joyce and Gilbert, and we think of Earl Miller and Eugene Stump family and others, Lord, that come to our minds that have lost loved ones. And just pray, Lord, for your comfort. Pray, Lord, for your peace to be upon those family members and friends. We think, Lord, of those on our prayer concerns this morning. And, Lord, we pray that you would meet Beverly, Naomi, and Tim, and Carl, and Nolan, and Sandy, and Denise, where they are this morning. You know the procedures they've been through, the treatments they've had, and we just pray for your healing touch upon them. We recognize you this morning, Father, as the master physician. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continually allow us to be a blessing, to bless others, Lord, is our primary goal as we love and support each other. So thank you, Lord, for the church and the role that they play in this community and the lives of each other. We do recognize, Lord, that sins enter into our lives, and we want to take pause. We want to purposefully say that we're sorry and ask for forgiveness of those sins. So hear our time of confession during this next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, we pray that you would create in each of us a clean heart, a pure heart, that you would allow us to lead holy and righteous lives. But Lord, we do know that the cross is there for the forgiveness of our sin, and we thank you for the price that you paid that we might be free. We know, Lord, that the grave could not contain you, and you conquered death. And those that have gone on before us, having believed and trusted in you, are now with you in your presence. And we just thank you, Lord, for the salvation that each of us have. We celebrate life and thank you for Brother Craig and just the ministry he has among us here at Little Swatara, and pray your blessings upon him on this special day, his birthday. And we thank you for Savannah, and we rejoice over the way you have walked with her, and you have given her the strength and given her the wisdom and the knowledge to get through the schooling that she has so graciously got through. And we thank you, Lord, for keeping her studies where they needed to be to get to this point. And we just thank you for each one gathered here this morning. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the plans that we have for this day. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that they would be part of the plans you have for us. And we just thank you, Lord, for meeting us in this place and allowing us to know you personally as our Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. in the beginning. There it is again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. What is this Word that was there before time began? Who is this that existed with God and was not created? Not made, but played the role of creator. I'll tell you who this was. I'll take you there. An infant is crying in a little town called Bethlehem. The sky, his mobile. A feeding trough, his crib. His mother, one of those faithful, believed when God told her she would conceive by the Holy Spirit. Himself, love incarnate. And in this lowly manger scene, a mother kisses the fully human, fully God brow of the promised one. God's covenant with his creation, designed since before the beginning. Before that fateful bite was bitten, spoken through the prophets, believed by the faithful, heralded by angels, followed by generations, and feared by many, had finally come to dwell among us, to live with us, to walk beside us. Jesus, born to be a carpenter's son, but oh, so much more. I suppose you may have heard him. His story is written in this ancient book. These antiquated pages, those archaic principles of loving, peace, caring for the poor, embracing children, turning the other cheek, not murdering on the street or in the mind. He may have mentioned such things. He certainly lived out such things in Jesus, God's love story now lived and pierced through the souls of man in one-on-one, face-to-face, flesh-on-flesh, eye-to-eye encounters with deity come down. He wasn't much to look at, so this book says, but he was certainly someone to reckon with. Jesus threw down lightning bolts of love wherever he walked. He loved and he adored humanity. He was loved and he was adored. He hated injustice and despised hypocrisy. He was hated unjustly and despised by hypocrites. You see, Jesus in human form, God himself, walked into what the religious hierarchy of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, had winnowed down into a list of do's and an even longer list of do-nots. Those holier-than-thous taught religion above faith, rules above relationship, law above love. They were lawmen trying to maintain order and power. And this Jesus messed with the order they had to diligently committed their pious lives to. Jesus healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, made lepers clean. He ate with sinners. He loved the culturally unlovable and sought out the reprehensible. We see God's love story through Jesus' story of love as he dares to speak with the woman at the well, enters the house of Matthew, the loathed tax collector, invites Zacchaeus to lunch, saves the life of a woman caught in adultery, turns the tables in the temple, forgives his executioners while hanging on the cross they nailed him to. Jesus lived with fishermen. He praised a generous poor widow. He gave food to the hungry and nourishment to the spiritually famished. The way Jesus lived his life shows a God willing and ready to meet and love his people wherever they are. But his claim that he was the long-awaited Messiah ruffled feathers among the pompous flock of the high religious order of the day. The threat to their power and their way of life must be squelched quickly and viciously. Jesus was dragged from his holy, sinless life and dropped at the feet of the corrupt powers that be. This man, this Jesus, friend to the fallen, lover of the despised, the Prince of Peace, he confused and angered them. And they had had enough. They tortured him. They beat him. They whipped the flesh off his body and fashioned a thorny crown for this so-called king. And they said he was guilty. And they marched him to Calvary, where they nailed him to a cross and watched him die in agony and pain. Guilty? Guilty of what? Of loving everyone? Even as he hung on that tree, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Guilty of bringing justice to those treated so unjustly? He was guilty of loving where religion had deemed love unworthy. He was guilty of holding up the mirror of truth to the hypocritical religious leaders who had bred and breathed into his people that God was a bully, a smiter, a cosmic killjoy, an impersonable deity. But Jesus called God Abba. Jesus called him Father. He called him Daddy. And he taught us that we could do the same. He taught us that our God is a personal God, and that loving us is God's aim, and that our aim should be the same. We should love the unlovable, touch the untouchable, forgive the unforgivable, love God by loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. But the grave could not contain him. Crucifixion could not refrain him. And after his Jesus broke through the barrier of sin that separated humanity from the eternity it once had in Eden with his resurrection from death, the veil torn, the temple destroyed and rebuilt, and his people would take up the charge of the resurrected Jesus and go into their homes and into their neighborhoods and into their towns and counties, countries, and the world, and preach about this man, this God of theirs who loved unabashedly, who lived irreprehensible, who reached out compassionately, who died willingly so that others may live, so that we may live. And these followers of the way, they would make up what we have made into structures and buildings. We put steeples on top of stacked bricks and call it our church, and show up on Sundays but they knew worship as a lifestyle. The way was the church.
Kind of hard to switch gears, but this is a time of offering, and my offering thought had to do with Harvest Home, being Harvest Home Sunday, and our bulletin covers. A while back we changed, and they started including a scripture in our bulletin cover. So that verse on the bulletin cover, Proverbs 22:9, is my offertory thought this morning. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. I couldn't help but think of how, as Pastor Matt was speaking, how wonderfully God has blessed us with the gift of Jesus, with his sacrifice and our salvation through him. Everything else just seems unimportant after that. But when we gave these food items to the needy in our area, we are blessing God, and God blesses us in return. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and generous Father in heaven, we come with grateful hearts at this time of celebrating the harvest. Thank you for providing an abundant harvest so that we can share with others. Thank you for providing for our needs and for the tithes and offerings that we bring to you. Thank you for the blessing of being able to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join me up front.
I love your boots.
Thank you. I like your boots too. Anybody? Oh, I see one more coming to join us.
A couple.
Come on up. Did you hear what Sunday it is this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's Harvest Sunday. So I thought on Harvest Sunday we'd talk about gardens. Does anybody have a garden at home? You have a garden?
Yeah. I grow tomatoes and peppers. That's pretty much
Just pick them off the vine and eat them. That's the way to go. I have a garden at home, and I'd like to share with you guys what's in my garden. And I'm going to have somebody read this for me. There's toys back there. There's food back there for the food bank, because that's what Harvest Sunday is about. Watch out. Can somebody help me out by reading my list here?
I will.
You want to read it?
I will.
Go ahead. Read it nice and loud.
Okay. So it says that you in your garden
yep.
you have flowers, cucumbers, carrots, broccoli, watermelon, onions, zucchini,
mm-hmm.
and potatoes.
And potatoes. Awesome job. All stuff that I have in my garden. Now, I want to talk about God's garden. What do you think is in God's garden?
God's garden had, well, God created a farmer on the day 8. He said he needed a caretaker,
mm-hmm.
someone to provide food and animals. So God looked down the hill and created a farmer.
He did.
But in God's garden, he has faith, spirit, and the Holy Christ in his heart.
That's right. I have some more here. Love, joy, peace. You ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit?
Yes.
Do you think maybe God grows fruits in his garden?
Yes.
Fruits of the Spirit? All right. So how do you think you get a garden to grow really well? What do you put in the soil?
Water.
You water it. What else?
Plant it.
You plant it. Yep. If you don't plant it, there's nothing to grow. What else do you do?
You have to dig it.
You dig it?
Yes.
Okay. So you have to, make sure it gets sunlight and not too much, because if it gets too much sunlight, it can get really dry and that can kill it. And you need to water it right too, because if you water it just like us, it will drown in water.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to take care of the vegetables, make sure they grow healthy and fruit. And if there's any rotten stuff on the vines, you can pick that off. And if you do, like if you have a cow or a horse, because my horse and my cows love that rotten tomato plants. I don't know why, because I don't like it, but they're horses and cows.
That, I'm going to jump off that. What else can you do with your bad fruits and vegetables?
You can recycle them.
Recycle them.
You use them as compost.
Yep, you're going to compost them and put them in the soil and make the soil rich in nutrients and good things. What can we do to God's garden to make the soil rich in nutrients? What actions do we have that we can put in God's garden to help grow love and joy? You can pray. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Plants.
We can plant some plants in God's garden. Maybe give our plants away. What else can we do? You want to open the toys? They're for the food bank. What else can we do? Maybe be nice to our brothers and sisters?
That will never happen.
We can try to be nice to our brothers and sisters. What else? If you see a kid at school, maybe go and sit with them if they're all by themselves.
That's always what I'm trying to do. When I'm at school, I'm always trying to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, so there's this funny thing that happens when you compost. And the funny thing that happens when you make God's garden rich with other nutrients as well, you never know what's really going to grow. So I went out to my garden this morning. Remember what was on that list? Guess what I picked from my garden?
Pumpkins.
I didn't plant pumpkins.
That's amazing. That's like the smallest pumpkin I've ever seen in my garden.
There must have been some pumpkins in my compost.
You
do?
That's actually what happened to me this year. Last year when we were doing jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween, there were actually some pumpkin seeds, and that's what actually grew it. So maybe for the reason why this grew, maybe you were carving jack-o'-lanterns around there, and some of the seeds got in the soil.
Yep, some of the seeds got in the soil. So the same thing can happen with God's garden. If we sit with that kid at lunch, or show love and kindness, or we pray to God for people, you can go out to God's garden and pick up a brand new believer that you never thought you could make a believer
how my friendship started with a nerd girl in our school. Her name is Makara. She's in my class. I sat with her one day. Well, actually, it started at recess, our friendship. We sat together at one lunch, and now we're just like BFFs. She's one of my girlfriends now.
So you never know. If you fertilize God's garden right by doing good things and following the fruits of the Spirit, you never know what will grow. It just might be a brand new believer. All right, let's pray. Dear God, please help us to nurture your fruits of the Spirit, nurture your garden, and help it all to grow. God, please help us to do the difficult things, to pray for other people, to go sit with that kid at lunch, and to just be an example of who you are to the world. And God, please let us see that our fruits of labor are tangible, that we can see the good works that you do in the end. Thank you. Amen.
In the beginning was the church, in that divinely inspired book, the Bible, when it says the church, it is calling for the building up of a beautiful people, not a beautiful building. No, not a lifeless place, but a living people, God's people, holy and consecrated for his great and victorious purpose. The church was now the love of God incarnate in the world, and the church, they lived and they loved as believers in a loving God. They learned the names of the poor and provided for them. They adopted the orphans and raised them to love their God. They cared for the widows, drawing them out of their desolation and loneliness into their community. They gave away and shared their possessions to care for one another. They prayed together. They fasted together. They cried and laughed and ate together. They raised their children together and cared for their weak together. They were strong together. Together, they battled the temptations of the world, the temptations to be powerful and possessing and prestigious.
Together, they sought out how to live as patient, peaceful, faithful, gentle, self-controlled disciples of Christ. The church preached in word and action the life that Jesus lived, the very full, purposeful life that God desired for them and designed for them. The church preached in word and action, the heart of God, the Almighty One, and only one who loved with lightning bolts of love. And together, the church loved each other, and with God's help, they loved their enemies.
And they had enemies. Just as Jesus had been unpopular with the ruling class, so the church would be. How is it that love can be so threatening? The power of his people, this culture of such solidarity, threatened the solidarity and power of Rome and its cronies. Their numbers grew as their faith spread. Their resolve to live out the love of God strengthened through the persecutions. Through the threats of tossing these now called Christians to the lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, how the church grew as people lived in faith with their loving God.
And their story is now your story, our story. Are we not the very same church? Is not their faith in the very same God? Perhaps you've never known the threat of being thrown to lions for the faith you possess. Or have you? The lions roar in the modern day traffic jams of our lives. The tigers threaten to beat down the doors of our resistance and challenge our persistence to call ourselves followers of the way. The bears threaten to bully us into submitting to our culture that picks sticks up off the ground and puts stones on pedestals and melts metal into ugly forms and bows down to them, worshiping the creation rather than our Creator.
You are the church. You are the love of God incarnate. In a world that's sick for love and drowning in loveless facades that dare to imitate something that only God can fulfill, you are the faith, the hope, and the love of our loving Lord. You are the lightning bolts of love, the givers of his unconditional love in a stormy, self-possessed world. You are God's people, living out your lives like God's people, to a people that need to know they are God's people too. You are the face of Jesus until he comes again. And believe me, when I tell you this,
he will come again.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In the beginning, it started in a garden.
And here, I can't say it ends, because God has no end.
And since God's story is their story, and their story is our story, then our story is his story.
The story.
And so we will know no end either.
God's grace will bring us home. That's always been his plan.
Since before the forbidden bite was bitten, God knew he would do whatever it took to break the bonds of sin on our lives and make his people once again.
And there will be a day when Jesus will return.
There will be a day when this culture of anger and hate will cease.
Every knee will bow.
Every tongue confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
What a day that will be.
But until that day,
until that glorious day,
until then, what shall we do?
We are the love of God incarnate.
We are God's people.
We are the church, the light in this dark world.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done now, not just when we get to heaven.
And as we live not forgetting what God has done for us, and hide our lights under rocks and bushels.
As we live as people, gifted a life from God to live with God every day.
We live as people with a story to tell.
The story to tell.
Now the question is, how will we let our story be defined?
We see these stories captured in here of seemingly great people appearing to be larger than life people and almost untouchable people.
When they were really just people, people like you and like me, who let this loving God change them from the inside out.
We can let our story be defined by our fears, our failures, our shoulda, coulda, wouldas, our regrets, our dreams unreached, or our love unspent.
Or we can allow God to be our definition. Let him draw us into this portrait of endless love, sculpt us into this scene of unconditional love, weave you into the tapestry of his intentional love to this world.
Allow God to reform and redefine our stories as part of his story.
This story.
The story. Story.
As we depart this day, Harvest Home Sunday, the most appropriate Sunday for reaping a harvest, but a harvest not of fruit and crops, but a harvest of people. People who are lost, who have not discovered the truth about God. And through us, through our stories, through our loving unconditionally, we can reach the harvest. The question is, will you let God be your definition? Amen.